We're glad that you're here with us. We're going to begin this morning with a couple of readings. One is a scripture reading, and then another one that kind of fits the theme of today. The first reading is from Proverbs. I'm going to be reading from chapter 23, verses 15 through 18, with just a slight edit of my own based on the original Hebrew. Hear now these words. My child, if your heart is wise, my heart also will be glad. My soul will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy those who practice evil, but always continue in fear of the Lord. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. May we add meaning and understanding to the reading of these words. The second reading I want to share with you today comes from one of my favorites. It's from his autobiography, Howard Zinn. His autobiography is entitled, You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train. In there he says this, to be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act and at least the possibility of sending the spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in a way, however small way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents. And to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. Stephanie, I'm going to turn it over to you. We'd love to hear some music.
Remember the last time I was here, people said, why don't you explain what you're doing, song? Well, our first piece was called Shema, which means I don't care. It's a traditional piece from, I don't know, maybe the 18th century that got, I don't know the Malinke language, or I don't care, but the French changed it to Je m'en fous. A friend of mine who used to play in his band in Ivory Coast, Dada Toukouné, made a hit there. It was a hit. And I would try to do a more traditional. The second one was called Elegua Agouanyen. And it's an old song from the Yoruba tradition. We're about to do a song now, which is good. This, by the way, is called a balafon. One of the many African xylophones. This is a Malinke or Susu balafon. It was developed around the 12th century, beginning of the 12th century. And there were three major songs that were written for it at that time. And one of them was Sujata, who was a great king, people revered. The other one was Bolivar. And the one we're going to do today is called Lamban. So, thank you for listening. Thank you. be chatting out. I'm a good Johnny and I Johnny and I'm a little good Johnny and I Johnny and I'm a little good Johnny and I Johnny and
message this morning is Keep Hope Alive. Today is the anniversary of Dr. King's I Have a Dream speech, a powerful and ultimately hopeful speech. So I thought it might make sense to take a little bit of time today and think, well, to think about hope. That there are times in our lives, that hope seems fleeting. In fact, in light of recent Supreme Court rulings, attacks on education, the growth of white Christian nationalism, just to name a few, in light of some of those kinds of things, things that Dr. King would have taken issue with, in light of those kinds of things, many progressives are feeling like hope is hard to hold on to. And if you believe what you see on social media, some folks even say all hope could be lost soon. Being that we'll be talking about it a bit today, it would probably be helpful to briefly define hope before we continue. Desmond Tutu says, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. Now, that's quite lovely. I think we could use something a little more specific. And Wikipedia actually does a pretty good job of defining hope. It says that hope is, quote, an optimistic attitude of mind but is based on an expectation of positive outcomes related to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large. And then it goes on to say, among its opposites are dejection, hopelessness, and despair. Well, you know, in general, I agree with that assessment, but I do have to say, I think that there is another, more pertinent opposite of hope. Fear. Hope is imagining what good is going to happen. Fear is imagining what bad is going to happen. And because of that, I happen to believe that fear is the purest opposite of hope. I'd even go as far as to say we all tend to look at the future through one of those two lenses, fearfully or hopefully. Neil Donald Walsh, author of the books Conversations with God, gives fear a definition by means of an acronym. He says fear is false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. You've probably heard that before. But most religions actually teach the value of hope and the needlessness of fear. The Christian Bible alone says, fear not, 365 times. Now, on one level or another, whether it is from personal experience, spiritual studies, or other sources, we all know that being afraid of the future is just as silly and useless as being afraid of our own shadows. And yet we sometimes, well, we fear it all the same. My opening is an example of a good case in terms of my point that I'm making. Many progressives are finding it hard to hold on to hope right now. And why? Well, because we fear what tomorrow will hold for ourselves and our neighbors, particularly for those who are already marginalized. Sure, we know that simply fearing won't change anything. We probably even understand that fearing the future without doing anything about it is actually worse than being indifferent about it. Possibly about the same. Fear without action. Fear without action is suffocating, disabling, and depressing. Most of us can see the truth of that statement, and yet we sometimes persist in it. The question is why? Well, one possible answer is in the acronym of fear from Walsh. False evidence appearing real. It's a false sense of an unknowable future. Too frequently, as we think about the future, we imagine what we don't want to lose and instantly grow afraid of that loss. But when we do that, and it's easy to do, when we do that, we're being fooled. We're tricking ourselves out of a secure sense of now and replacing it with an insecure sense of what if about the future. The thing is, the only reality that truly exists is the each passing second. The here and now, this moment. And yet, with each passing second comes the difficulty of not knowing what will come next, next moment, and then next, that. And that provides us with the opportunity to either hope for or fear what will come next. So the cycle of trying to live in the what it is of each moment, all the while having to make a choice of how to respond to the what it might become, comes a constraint and a struggle for us. So, what can we do to heal this repeating, self-inflicted wound of wanting hope and happiness in the moment but sometimes holding fear for the future. Well, as I mentioned, I think hope is the opposite of fear. So it seems to me that a good way to be less fearful is simply to learn how to be more hopeful. Hope is the reality we want for our future. Fear simply represents what could go wrong. It's ultimately our thinking about our inability to see or control our futures, and it tends then to make us anxious and hyper-concerned about the future. Buddha tells us hope is important because it can make the present moment less difficult. If we believe that tomorrow will be better, we can bear a hardship today. Dr. King said we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. There's little doubt that spirituality around the world sees hope. Hope as an essential ingredient in forming a healthy life. But I have a concern about how that hope is being taught. You see, too frequently, hope is placed in the hands of some holy other. In many religions, we are taught to have faith and trust in some grand deity, and in that deity's ability or even desire to positively impact the outcomes of life. Frankly, that's cheap. It's cheap. And it requires no real investment from us. The cause of it is a lie. Not only that, when that kind of hope is held up to reality, it demands that we play games of cognitive dissonance with ourselves just so we can hold on to it. Think of it like this. Learn that we or someone we care about has a life-threatening illness. And we are told simply to trust in and have hope in some divine other, but we stop there and do nothing. We are living a false hope. I'd go as far as to say it isn't actually hope at all. It's more like an unfounded optimism. If we do nothing at all for ourselves or our loved ones, the odds are they will not make it. All too frequently, placing our hope in a higher being makes us complacent, unjustifiably content. It fills us up with unfounded optimism. After all, what some religious perspectives say, and the other is to be the bearer of all hope, why is there so much in hope? Without hope, without action, hope is unfounded optimism. Without action, hope is unfounded optimism. If we do nothing to help ourselves or our loved one, our hope, well, it's ill-advised. If we make certain we or they get the best medical treatment that we can access, then hope becomes real. We put action to our hope. Gallup senior scientist Dr. Shane Lopez, in his book, Making Hope Happen, Creating the Future You Want for Yourself and Others, speaks of his study and his colleagues, one that they conducted, and their findings show that hope leads to everything from a better performance in school, more success in the workplace, and happiness overall. And it makes sense. According to Lopez, quote, when we're excited about what's next, we invest more in our daily lives, and we can see beyond our current challenges. Lopez, who is a leading researcher in hope, views hope like oxygen. He says, we can't live without hope. He tells us that Hope includes a range of emotions such as joy and awe and excitement. But it's not empty tunnel vision enthusiasm. Hope is a combination of your head and your heart. He describes hope as, quote, the golden mean between euphoria and fear. Hopeful people, one, pick good goals. Two, know how to spot and seek out ways to make them happen. And three, knows how to seek out pathways that will move them forward. See, hope involves action. Said differently, hope is optimism backed by action. Hope is optimism backed by actions. As I said, Lopez calls hope the golden mean between euphoria and fear. Yet both hope and fear can be motivators. And they both have the capacity to promote growth in us, but hope creates a space in the mind and the heart. Fear, more often than not, restricts the both of them. And let's take a brief pause here and acknowledge that properly placed fear can serve to protect us. That is, if we address it directly and develop a plan of action. And as I said, real hope is backed by action. Fear without the actions of hope will stagnate us. It can cause our entire world to collapse in on that one issue, that one moment. I go as far as to say it is not ultimately fear that serves to protect us even in those cases, but rather our hopeful response to fear. Unlike fear, when you feel hopeful, you feel generous and open. Not only with others, but with yourself too. Your world expands with ideas for how hope could gather even more momentum. You feel motivated forward. That's a space of spiritual growth right there. That's the space of creating a better world. That's the space from which Dr. King's dream came. If anything, while I see fear and hope as opposites, keep in mind that sometimes opposites work well together. Sweet and salty, black and white, cause and cat. Alright, not everything. But you kind of get the idea. As you might be picking up on, I'm not saying fear is altogether a bad thing. The way I see it, when we use the better parts of hope and fear together, we're in the best position we can be in. The best part of fear is that it teaches us about what we're afraid to lose. And the best part of hope is that once we know what we're afraid of losing, we can set about nurturing it and keeping it strong and safe. The important thing to remember is that hope should be by far the greater force in that equation. Fear is the prompt. Hope is the way. Fear is the prompt. Hope is the way. Fear is about trying to survive something. Hope is about knowing why you want to survive it. So while the two are opposites, they function together when the action of hope keeps fear in its place. According to Lopez, we can spread hope by modeling it through stories and our actions and providing support for others. Hope gives us the power to affect change. And as we spoke about last week, change is also a spiritual necessity, much like hope. Not only that, it is the hope behind Dr. King's dream. In these times when so many are in fear of the direction we are going in, we should use that fear to teach us about what we are afraid to lose. Once we know what we are afraid of losing, we should set about strengthening those things, allowing hope to keep the fears at bay, but developing a plan and putting actions behind it. Not fully removing the fears, but using them as fuel for the fire and realization of what truly matters to us. I'll conclude with one more thought from Lopez, who writes in his book saying, please build up your hope. Then, with hope to spare, help others build a future that is much better than the present. Much better. Amen.
The last song we're doing today is called Pulang Jaya. Pulang Jaya was a great hunter in the old Malian Empire in West Africa. But the hunters there are called Dosun. They're not just hunters of animals, although they did provide the villages with game, the cities with food. They also hunted herbs, and they hunted lost souls. And they were the providers of hope within their community. So this is song is for you. Thank you.
Sandy, again, thank you so much for sharing your gifts with us today. Truly appreciate it. Truly appreciate it. And I'd be remiss. I meant to speak of this earlier. Hopefully you all pick one of these up on your way in. Stephanie has put together the words to all of the songs that you're hearing today so that you have a better understanding of how they, not only how they fit in with our theme for today, but she's also done a short exposition at the beginning of each of the impetus of where these songs came from and what the creator was having in mind. And I think it actually adds just several more layers to the significance of the music and the words and how this all comes together. So I encourage you to be following along with that. And a little bit later, we'll be singing the song off the back as well. We are now in a time where we turn more inward. I have changed the way I think of prayer over the years, so I'm going to assume, as always, that we have folks who see it in different ways here. So as I always say, please take this as the way that is right for you. You can take this as a prayer, as a meditation, or just simply breathe in and breathe out and hear these words and grab hold of the ones that you most need today. In truth, we are longing for hope. Each day the news tells the grim story of violence in our nation and around the world. The violence of guns and weapons. The violence of economic oppression. The violence of hate and aggression. The violence of court rulings against bodily autonomy. The violence of voter suppression. The violence of food insecurity and starving children. The violence of unaffordable health care. The violence of empty houses and people living under bridges. So much violence. We long for hope. Hope that one day we will recognize our connectedness to each other. Hope that love will overwhelm us all. Until that day, may we be found making plans on how to overcome the violence humanity has created. May we be found putting those plans into action. May we be found making the world a better place for all. May we be found not simply being hopeful, but may we be found creating hope. Being the hope we wish to see in the world. Working towards the dream of the day when justice will roll down like waters, righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. May our strength and our resolve to speak out against violence be replenished. And may we be reminded that it is our spiritual calling to be the people of peace that the world needs to see. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and actions share that love and happiness with all.